Good morning, everybody. The Lord's good. I mean, one of the things is, I guess I've been seeing in my own life is just His mercy and His grace and His hand out there and just how loving of a Father He really is. Man, I have screwed up and the Lord is yet there to redeem, there to replenish, there with His hand out, ready to forgive. You know, but I want to look at I want to look at Romans 7. One of the things is that grace is available. I mean, the point of that grace is that you may receive it and that others may receive it. The whole point is the gospel being reached out there. God knows I'm nothing special. I did anything right to deserve it. That's the point of the gospel. Lord's good. And, you know, 7 is one that is like taking my head up against this wall and beating it against it. Because I struggle with this, and I don't know if you guys can relate. I hope so. But I read 7. It's like, and I'm just going to start reading it. And I'll tell you the point that I'm really talking about. The one that I struggle with, the one that I wrestle with, the one that I fight off. That battle right there squaring your cranium. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And look, the woman's married to her husband, she's bound to her husband, took on his name, do what he tells her to do. She's his helpmate, takes on the name. That's what she's bound to. Not bound to anybody else. She's bound to that, right? That's what marriage is. That's what commitment is, right? And she's drawing a kind of a line here. A resemblance. Let me put it that way, I suppose. An example. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Look, if her husband, she goes and marries one guy, and then he lives, and she goes and marries another guy, she's an adulteress, right? She took on the first man's name. She's not to take on another man's name. But if the first husband is dead, she's free from that. She can go marry another man, right? That's what he's saying here. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins were by the law. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Look, praise God. I mean, just as that woman is freed from the husband that died, so are we to be free from the bondage of flesh and to be able to walk in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, which is the law. We're free from that law. Christ fulfilled it. We ought to be free from this flesh, not in bondage to it anymore. That's the freedom in Christ Jesus that we have. You can go to Hebrews, to do thy will, O God. We have that freedom now. As before, when before Christ, before we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we didn't. We were bound to the flesh. And where is that? 6? But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. No. The law was one to show you that you were a sinner. To show you that you couldn't do it. I mean, before the law, unless you have that law, it would be one thing. It's like, don't do that. Okay, well, I did it. Well, you did. I mean, it's one of those things to let you know that you're just a sinner. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. Look, it just shows me that I'm a sinner. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin might, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And this is the part I'm talking about. It's like just beating my, it is just pickles me up, man. I tell you what. Gets me in a bind. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. I mean, I look at the Word of God, man, it testifies against me. It testifies against my natural man. I mean, I see the works of the flesh working, and when that light comes, and that Spirit comes, and when Jesus comes, man, I look at that light and I see all those darkness in my heart and all those areas where I'm still yet selfish. I mean, just taking the simple commandment of love God, love one another. Oh my gosh, I'm extremely selfish. I mean, how many times do I say, I choose to do what I want to do, not what you want to do, Lord, and yet preferring somebody else? Oh my gosh. I mean, I struggle with that, guys. I fight with that. I got to put that carnal man down and give it no place. Give it no place. And I find that even going, trying to about to be loving God, loving one another, yet then I'm doing the things I would not. I don't want to do. I end up doing it. And even in going forward in that, making the choice in that throughout the day, man, it's like I got to make that choice 20 times a day. Because I just find myself back to the default position, back in the corner of mine, doing the things that I don't want to be doing. All right, no, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry, Lord. Thank God for your grace. Lord, I need to take a mulligan. Let me start over. Lord, it's all about you. What would you have me to do? Sorry, I got caught up in my own thing once again. Now then, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. That is my natural man coming abroad. That's what that is. That's the flesh. It's an enemy with God. Wants to do its own thing. Seeks its own. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Have you ever been in a situation where it's like, man, I just want to do that which is right, but man, I can't seem any way I go is wrong. You ever guys ever get caught up in that? When I'm awake, Paul says. Yeah, I hear you. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He's saying, look, the flesh is the flesh and I can't do a freaking thing about it. I can't do a freaking thing about it. It's there. It's strapped on my back and it sucks. Excuse my French. I don't know if I should say that. But I just did. It's out and I can't take it back. Can't go backwards. Backpedal. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. You know, I look at this, this is a bondage. This is a bondage unto me. What is going on? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know what he looks to for the antidote to that? Jesus Christ our Lord. Who walked it in the likeness of sinful flesh, walked this out perfectly, and was the perfect sacrifice to take this away, and to forgive us and give us His cloak of righteousness. That is His saving grace. That is our saving grace. That's all we have. That's all we have hope in. Not in ourselves. And I want to go down to the next verse. Because we can let that sin rule us. We can let that thing take us down. We can be caught in the bondage of it. but we don't have to. With our mind, we can choose to serve Christ. We can. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I can go down and I'll probably go verse... I want to do verse 8 another time, because I know that I need to wrap it up soon. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Which are in Christ Jesus. That's one thing where you make that choice. When the enemy comes and attack you of all you done wrong, what does he have to attack you? If you're in Christ Jesus, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see you personally anymore. He sees Jesus. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Choose to be in Christ Jesus. Choose to put off that old man. And I look at my failings and I look at my struggles and I look at all these things. Because I tell you guys, I'm not coming up here one of just accomplished anything. Actually, the past 2 years of my life has actually just seemed like an utter, absolute failing to me in what I'm called to walk in. Absolute failing to me. But God's grace has covered all that. And He's revealing that to me more and more every day. I go to work and I am the worst boss ever. I am the worst manager ever, and I just don't know how to freaking do it. I struggle with it. I tell you, I'm not even at that store anymore. I actually got moved. I went to another store because of my own, once again, failings and my rejection of the grace of God. But the Lord showed me something in the midst of that. I called up one of my buddies. My buddies called me and he says, Phil, it's worse than I've ever seen it. I hope you come back and I hope you come back fast, and so does everybody else. And as I am under the cloud and all I can see is my failings and all I can see is just how much of a struggle all this was for me and how I could not get anything right. No matter how bad I fought to do that, the Lord's grace was making a difference the whole time. The whole time. In His grace, what He was showing everybody, that it was running good and smooth. But here, in my mind and in my heart, I'm going, this is a total disaster. And that's why you have that scripture, lean not on thine own understanding. Because mine own understanding is just wrong. And the Lord's grace and mercy overtrumps my failings. What, is my failings bigger than God's grace? Are your failings bigger than God's grace? I don't think so. You're not that much of a failure. What I'm saying is, you can't be that bad. We need to really understand that grace, that gift of God. And it's there to redeem anything. If we would just get on our knees and actually repent and turn. And submit unto Him and allow Him to work. And trust Him. It says, one of the scriptures says, trust in the Lord and do good. You know what? You can't do good unless you trust in the Lord first. Can't do good unless you trust in the Lord first. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. What is the Lord asking us to do? Believe Him. Trust Him. It starts right there. And recognizing that old man, trust Him and believe Him for what He's done. And really do it. I'm done.
I looked in vain to find the verse, but what Paul's writing about in Romans, what the Lord is having him write there in Romans 7, is it's like a thesis, documentary for how he arrived at it's a trustworthy saying that Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is the evidence why it is an evidentiary hearing about why we need grace. And praise God, that grace is always available. Because we always are going to need it. Until that dead man slides off our back. But while he was doing Romans, I just my mind went to again. We should call this just 2 Timothy 2 day. Mark it on the calendar every Sunday. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 7 is the reason why you have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not just Timothy. It's why Paul had to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why he says in Ephesians, in the middle of chapter 6, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And one of the things that this old dead man tends to want to default back to is self-righteousness. And when Jesus says, for I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. And I'm going to be bouncing all over the place, and I can't really see a way not to do that. But self-righteousness is fed not by the approval of God, but the approval of men. And you, when you seek in this, the next verse that I'm going to is Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's all they're going to get. If you're happy where you're at, go with it. If you think you're going to be able to stand before the Lord in that day and say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, I'm a pretty good woman. I'm pretty good. And I just know you wouldn't cast me into hell. That's all your self-righteousness is going to be able to offer. And you'll stand there like those in Matthew 7 saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And you'd be making the list as he's dispatching you. You won't understand why he's not listening. But this body of this death is always seeking the approval of men, sometimes exclusively and without seeking the approval of the Lord. And the whole time he was going through Romans 7, I'm just sitting there doing this hit and miss things through the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, you can't perform unless you're strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is only in Christ Jesus, in the body, abiding in him. Without him, you can do nothing. Well, what is the nothing you can do? You can't perform this. You're not even going to try. You're going to bounce back to seeking the approval of men. And his word says, that's all you're going to get. If that's what you're seeking, that's all you're going to get. That should be scary for anybody who thinks that they've got something they can stand before the Lord and say to him that's going to suffice, that isn't. I believed in your son, and I trusted him to cover my sins. That's the only answer that's going to stand. Lord, I know I'm wicked and desperately evil, but Jesus died for me. That's the only thing that's going to stand. And it's going to be so simple that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter whether they believed it or not. When they had the chance. Immaterial. This is so how we are. And, you know, I can stand up here and say we have to get shed of it, but you're not going to get shed of it until you're about pleasing Jesus Christ. Lord, what would you have me do? And then when you find out, why do you want me to do that? The follow-up questions, especially the kind you get from your kids. Why? 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 You do that long enough, you'll know why. He won't have to tell you why, because you moved from servants to friend. Because you've both shown faithfulness and trustworthiness to each other. That's why he had the conversations he had with Abraham. Abraham became his friend. Yeah, they went and consulted the angels. Went and consulted with Abraham before he went over to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Said, you know, this is Abraham's place here. Maybe we ought to tell him what we're doing here. That was a testimony of God's goodness. And his approval of Abraham. No matter how screwed up Abraham was, Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. And, you know, That's the only way we're going to get any righteousness. It's because God gives us Jesus. That one will stand. the approval of man will die with the sin of man. It'll go away as a vapor. You know, it's good every now and then to let somebody who's been struggling know that they've done a good job when they've done a good job. But their security doesn't need to be in your ability to stroke them. It needs to be in the trustworthiness of Lord Jesus Christ. But I know at times we go through insecurity in the faith. You know, sometimes I lay in bed and I just struggle to believe that I'm going to get up. Struggle. The enemy takes you to your weakest point and then feeds you a bunch of lies. He comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't want to be found in agreement. With the destroyer. I want to be found in agreement with Jesus Christ and the grace that is always there because we always need it. And mercy is always there because we always need it. We are encouraged in James chapter 1 to count it all joy when we fall. Not if we fall. When we fall into diverse temptations. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Abraham taking Isaac up to the altar was trying his faith. Where's your faith at? Well, my faith is, I believe that if Isaac dies, you're going to have to raise him from the dead because he's the child of promise. That's what you told me. And I believe that. All those years leading up to that point can be looked at preparing him for the trying of his faith. Because he learned patience. He learned the faithfulness of the Lord. He learned the trustworthiness of the Lord. And he knew that it is like the Lord to at some point hold you to account to see what you believe. I praise God that we don't have to stay bound up in Romans 7. Romans 8 was written, and Romans 8 is glorious. And you can learn to operate in Romans 8 by being hid in Christ with God. Setting your affections on things that are above. Seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. And trusting Him for everything else. That's the testimony of all the names that appear in Hebrews 11. They believed God. I get consumed by thoughts, by the terror, really, of what would have happened If I had spent my whole life seeking the approval of men, what would happen? It's one of those, five or six, certainly top ten scariest statements that Jesus makes is you have your reward. It don't get no better than this. If you're content with bringing what you've got before the throne, go with it. No use to waste your time here. But I'm going to seek the approval of the Lord. Because I know it gets better than this. And I want that for all of y'all.